So let's start with Shkolim.
I play with my slime.
You can play. Yeah, that's fine. Silly putty and slime is okay during Parshas Shir. Sure, yeah, it's well, don't whatever too loudly. Anyway, should we start with Masses of Shekel or should we start with Parsha?
Parsha. I don't know.
Fine, good. So let's start with Parsha. So if you look at the construction, again, Vayakel and Vayakel Pekudei, it's a lot of Chazara. Parshas Vayakel. Parshas Vayakel and Shabbos Shkolim. We know that they're Dalet Parshios because we've been learning Maseches Megillah. So now we begin the season of the four Parshios and we do Shkolim this week. Shabbos Agadol, and then you go backwards. It's Chodesh,
what's
right?
What's the Shabbos after Yom Kippur?
No. Nachamu's in the summer.
That's what Shabbat Shuva.
Yeah. Shabbat Shuva is before Yom Kippur. One before, not after.
Nothing after.
Okay, good. Sukkot. Yeah, very good. Okay, are we ready to start? Yalla. So the Ramban. There's a lot of different terms of people who built the Mishkan, right? A lot of different ways we describe them. Anybody know them? How do we describe generosity? Anybody know? What's the word for generosity?
They did it in...
A nediv lev, nedivut, right? Like a nedava, a voluntary offering, right? We've seen that in Chumash a little bit. So the Torah says that the Torah lists a couple different ways to describe the people who helped contribute and build the Mishkan. And the Ramban comments on two of them. Okay, the Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Hey, in this week's Parsha, V'yavo'u kol ish asher nisa'o libo. Any man who had like a lifted up, a raised, maybe we'll call it an inspired heart, that's one group of people. And then you have the Nadiv, the people who had Nadiva slave, people who were exceedingly generous. So the Ramban says like this, Nisio slave is people who helped in the construction of the Mishkan. Those who gave money, though, meaning you had the people who donated, and you had the actual builders of the Mishkan. So the people who donated Elisheva are who? The Nediva slave, the generous people. Nisio slave, from the word like naso, to lift up. Okay, those were the people who constructed, who built the Mishkan itself. Okay. Now, the Chevra who built the Mishkan, did they go to any sort of school? Did they get training? No. Good. Simcha. What happened? They were given that chachma from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing that they were nomads. They were wandering in the Midbar for years. They had no training. What were they going to do? They wanted to do it. They were inspired, like we said, Nisiya slave. Their hearts were lifted up. And Hashem gave them the capacity to do what?
To build the
Mishkan. Very good. So the Torah says like this. I want to point out a couple different things. Maybe first of all, I'll just say one idea that my good friend mentioned to me. And it's the following. Often we think, just this idea that we just mentioned, when they see a slave, often we think it's potential. A person has fantastic potential. A person has great potential. And that leads to doors opening for them in the future. Because they have great potential, they're going to get different opportunities in life. The truth of the matter is, when there are opportunities, if you take advantage of those opportunities, if you step into those roles, you'll skip over potential and Hashem will give you the capacity to do it. You guys know the movie Miracle? It's like the USA Olympic hockey team?
No.
Highly recommend it. It's Kedai, as far as all movies go. But there's a scene in the movie, like the USA was not supposed to beat the Russians, the Soviets, they were the best team. They hadn't lost in like four, you know, Olympics, whatever it was. They were like undefeatable. They were unreal. They're an unbelievable team. And Herb Brooks, the coach of the USA hockey team, gives a speech, his pump-up speech before that game. And he says, great moments are born from great opportunities. Okay? And he gives like a whole long drush of if it fires up the team, whatever it is. But this idea that often we think that, oh, if only I had the capacity or the abilities or the talents, the kochos, whatever it may be, then I can do what Hashem wants me to do. The truth is, though, that if there are opportunities, whether or not you're capable, if you say, I'm going to try, I'm going to do the best of my ability, Hashem gives you the kochos to do it. That's an important yisod. So that's just a nugget, but I think it's important to keep in terms of nesiyas leiv. If you take a look in the psukim, though, in Perek Lamed Tes, the Torah tells us the following: Kein asu bnei Yisrael is kol ha'avoda, and then it says asu oso, they did it, and then again kasher tiva Hashem kein asu vayivarech osam Moshe. So again, it gets into this whole idea. Kein asu, we get it. Did they do it? They did it. So the Ramban commenting on kein asu kol ha'avoda points out the following: He says, what does it mean, Kain Asu Kol Avoda, that they did it and they were going to do it L'Shem Shemayim? He writes, Ki Asu Osa La'avodas Hashem. They didn't do it to be able to quote, flex and say, ooh, look what I did. Look what I built. Look what I created. They did it because it was the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ramban on one hand, okay? But on the other hand, the Rechaim HaKadosh says that the repetition of Kain Asu, you know, this is what they did. They listened to Hashem. Asu Oso, Kain Asu. He says that it highlights that they did everything with such detail. Okay, I don't know if anybody has a newly renovated home or anything like that, or if a parent like works in construction or interior design or whatever it may be. But there are certain crown moldings. There's like all the fancy, not fancy, it could be fancy too, but like all the extra things that go into a house. Are they necessary? Absolutely not. Do they make it look really nice? 100%. So you don't need to do them, but the Rechaim HaKadosh says that the Jewish people, when it came to constructing the Mishkan, not only did these nomads who had no previous construction do it, and like the Ramban said, did it L'Shem Shemayim, but they made sure to do it, you know, the mitzvah min ha-muvchar, we'll call it. They did all the extra stuff, right? It wasn't, like, think of the menorah. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But the menorah, you see the art scroll, like Chumash in the picture books, and how intricate all the details were. It was crazy. But they did every single one. So Rav Yitzchok Tursky, we have a picture over here of Rav Meir Tursky on the wall between Rav Neuberger and Rav Shechter. So his father, he was a Chassid Sharav, the Tolna Rebbe in Boston, and he was also a chair. He was a professor and held a chair at Harvard. Probably the only Harvard professor to be a Chassid Sharav, and the only Chassid Sharav to be a Harvard, I was going to say Harvard Rebbe, a Harvard professor. Fine. So he says that Rav Yitzchok Tursky writes that the building of the Mishkan serves as an amazing paradigm for us in our own personal avodas Hashem. We have to embrace mitzvos, and we have to say and do them. We have to relate to them as, this is what Hashem wants me to do. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that ought to be the kavanah that we have when we do mitzvos. But we have to try to do mitzvos in their most ideal form. There's no such thing as, like, you know, sometimes you have a paper in school. Oh, it's good enough. Right, you have a project, you just need to get it in on time, there's a deadline, I need to present it. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, we don't think like, oh, it's good enough. Right? We've said in the past from other sources that good is great's worst enemy. Right? It's bracha or klala. There's no middle ground in Avodas Hashem. We have to strive for the highest, right? That's what the Gra writes. We've quoted this, I think, a couple times this year. The Gra writes in Mishlei, on the pasuk, Ora Chaim Lamala Lamaskil, the way, the path of life for the maskil, the understanding one, is up, it's going up. So says the Vilna Gaon, he doesn't give this exact example, but these are basically his words. He said, life is like a downwards escalator. If you're not trying, if you're not pushing, then you're going down. Says Rav Yitzchok Tversky, that this Or Chaim HaKadosh of saying that the people in the Midbar, they did all the crown molding and all the beautiful things that they did in the Mishkan, which is like excessive and extra and beautiful, that was their baseline. They said, we're going to strive for the best in every single opportunity. You know, and this is something that, to a certain degree, is counterintuitive. We don't always think you have to do it to the best. Just do what you can, right? That's often what we're taught. Do the best that you can. But that has to be, we have to be shooting for the best at all times. There's a halacha. There was just a program like a week or two ago. Rabbi Nathan came in and spoke to the boys about tefillin. And he spoke to us about safras and writing the klaf. There's halachos in the halachos of writing Sifrei Torah, mezuzah, and tefillin. And the Rambam writes several halachos, and then he says all these requirements are only lamitzvah min hamuvchar, meaning they're excessive, they're extra. But every single sofer, like, complies with those halachos. They do those things. Why? Because the baseline, our baseline, should be the best that we possibly can do. And I think that's an important idea of thinking that we have to put our best foot forward, and we have to do everything we can. And I think if we think of these two different sides of the coin, doing things l'shem shemayim, but also doing it the best we can, it puts together an interesting picture. And again, in the context of what they did, I think it's important to remember, they had no idea how to do the job. So if someone told you, do this for me, and you had no clue how to do it, she would say, okay, I'll do the best I can. Hopefully I'll do a serviceable job. Hopefully I'll do a decent job. Hopefully it'll be okay. But it was the Nesius Lev that they had. It was that elevated heart, that inspired heart. They had no clue what they were doing. Yet, because they had that inspiration and they wanted to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were given the capacity to accomplish. So I want to add maybe one or two more things, and then remind me to get into Machzis HaShekel. We'll conclude with Machzis HaShekel. Fine. The first thing is that when we try to do the best we can, again, that's what Hashem wants from us. Again, we're trying to do the mamish, the best, the mitzvah, minimum of chayr, and sometimes we're not able to, though. Right? So I know there's a little bit of like the opposite of what we just said, but you have to do the best you can. And we see this with the construction of different kelim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? What did he do? Did he build the what's it called? The menorah? No, what did he do? He threw it into the fire, right? We spoke about this a few weeks ago when we had Parsha Shirin class. Right? What did he do? He threw it in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the rest, right? I remember Penina had a vart, and we said the Maharal was like the flip side of what Penina was saying. But this idea here, and I think this is more in line with Penina saying, that do what you can, and you'll see Siyata Deshmaya in Ma'asei Yedecha. You try to do the best you can. You say, Hashem, I'm going to do the best I can. Not only does Hashem give you the Nesias Leiv to do what you need to do, but He helps you actually accomplish those things, which is an amazing thing. When you show Hashem you want it, He's going to help you. Habal Atar Masayin Oso. Someone just told me a story. One of my friends, you guys remember Rabbi Noah Wittenberg from the Kolo a couple of years ago? He's a Rav in San Diego. He told me that when, I don't know if he was in YU, someone was in YU. It was Shavuos night, and a regular guy in YU was learned with Rav Shechter b'chavrusa the entire night. Everyone's like, whoa, how'd you get that chavrusa with Rav Shechter? The whole night? Like, you must be like an all-star learner. He's like, no, the guy wasn't like the best guy in the base medrash. He was a regular dude. So a couple of the chavr went over to him after davening, you know, Shavuos morning. They said, how'd you get that chavrusa with Rav Shechter? And he said, I just asked him. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. I went over and said, like, do you think we can learn on Shavuos? And he said, sure. And we ended up learning the entire night. But sometimes you just have to take a step forward and good things happen. That's idea number one. Idea number two, and I think this is really important, is the following ha'ara. The Sefer Sichos Musar. We should get a picture of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the classroom. The Rashiv in the mirror. So he was a fantastic person. I'm not sure if we've quoted him too much this year. But he says the following. What does it mean, Nesius Leiv? So we said Nesias Leiv can be inspired or lifted up, but it could also mean like you hold of yourself, meaning you carry yourself to a certain degree, right? You with me on that? So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, based on the Ramban that we quoted, he speaks about the importance of what's called self-respect and self-worth and believing in your own abilities and saying that I can do it. We know that when the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim and the Mitzrayim started to subjugate us. When did that all happen? It was only after the Shvatim had passed, right? Meaning there was a certain point where the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, and nothing, no one was going to mess with them, no one was going to touch them. The Rechaim HaKadosh writes over there, it's the beginning of Shemos, that the Egyptians wouldn't mess with the Jewish people as long as they respected the Jewish people, or maybe as long as the Jewish people respected themselves. Meaning we held ourselves to a certain degree, so no one's going to mess with us. I heard on a podcast, I don't know, probably last year or something like that, they did a study of people in jail who had mugged individuals and robbed people. So they wanted to know who are suspects for muggings. So they showed them a bunch of different slides of people, pictures, images, whatever it was. And I don't know, it was a pretty big study. I don't know how many, you know, inmates or prisoners they did this on. But the conclusion of this entire study was that they only messed with people who looked like they can be mugged. If a person is put together, man or woman, if a person is put together and walks with a certain, you know, chashivas for themselves, so they were less likely to get mugged. There's this notion of holding of yourself. Undermining your own self-respect, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is one of the tools that the Yetzer Hara uses against us. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses a person learning by candlelight on Shabbos. And is one allowed to learn by candlelight? So we're saying no, okay, we have no yes. The Gemara discusses it. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, good. I love how you guys think it, but just forget the Shabbos licht or the Hanukkah licht, but just an actual candle or an oil lamp. So the Gemara there says, right? Very good, like Rifki's saying, you're not supposed to do that, but the Gemara says, Adam Chashuv, shiny. Meaning a Chashuv person is different. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz amazingly, it doesn't say it's Tzaddik or it's Tzaddikas. Because Chashuv, not Chashuv, I don't use the word. Tzaddikim and Tzidkaniyos, important people, also make mistakes. Everybody messes up. Why is the Gemara saying Adam Chashuv Shiny? It's because if you hold of yourself and you have that self-respect, you're going to say, that's beneath me. I'm not going to do that. I had a friend. I know there's like a lot of hack. There was just a fundraiser in the community for, I think, TAG, which is one of the internet filtering organizations we have in the community. And I remember when I was in YU, there was an older guy who was in the Kolo. He's a big, big tzaddik. I really look off him in a lot of different ways. And I heard this line over a decade ago, but it mamish has stuck with me. Guys were talking about filtering phones, and he said, like, I wouldn't filter my phone. Someone's like, what do you mean? You know, I guess he was like a pretty firm guy. So someone like, why wouldn't you filter your phone? And he said, I'm not machshav that yitzer hara. I'm not machshav that yitzer hara. Like, it's beneath me. I wouldn't do that. Like all the you want to call it the tum and the filth and whatever it is that's on one's phone or potentially on a phone. He's like, no, that's like, it's disgusting. Like, well, I wouldn't even like go near that. It was beneath him, you know? Okay, so practically speaking, should guys in our school get filters? Maybe, okay, that's a separate shmooz. But lamaisa, this idea of adam chashav shiny. Like, if you hold of yourself, so you're so much less susceptible to the Yetzer Hara. One of the key ways the Yetzer Hara gets us is by telling us, you know, we stink. And we're not chashav, we can't do anything anyway, and we're not important, Hashem doesn't care about us. So when we begin to believe that, what happens? We begin to poo-poo ourselves and not think about our actions as significantly. But imagine like this. If someone left a mop near Queen Elizabeth, you know, would she pick? I know, yeah, she passed. Yeah. Yeah. Would you imagine if someone took a man when she was living or whatever? What's her? Kate,
King Charles
or Kate, what's her face? Middleton? Kate, right? I mean, if there was a mop near her, she wouldn't like forget who she was. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's a queen. Like, she holds herself to a certain. Charles isn't going to like begin to like sweep the floor. Like, it's not what he does. It's beneath him. I think that's his idea. We have to realize who we are. But I think also, and now we'll transition to Masa Sheshekel for a second before the bell rings, we'll say a couple different ideas. I think part of it, the HR says, like, oh, you're not worth anything. The Masa Sheshekel is dafka half. It doesn't matter if you're super rich or super poor. Everyone gives a half shekel. Why just a half shekel? So the Sfarim explain is to show us that a little bit matters. And we know from Parashas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out the shekel. Hashem showed it to him in an image of a fire, matbeya shel esh. Why dafka a fire? So Rav Jerk explains, we have to realize like one little match, one little fire can spread and make a huge difference. A massive fire. Same thing with our mitzvos, our ma'asim tovim. You can do a little bit. A little bit of tzedakah, a little bit of learning, a little bit of chesed, all of that contributes and makes a big, big difference. That's what we have to think about. Maybe we'll just end with this last idea. The Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe, is a very nice sefer, beautiful ideas, and he says the following. Why does Parsha Shkalim always precede Zachor? I think this is a very, especially, you know, germane to, you know, what's going on in the world right now. There are different ways the Jewish people can unite. We can unite when things go terribly wrong. As the Jewish people, Am Yisrael has united since October 7th for sure. But that's usually, and in this case, you know, with October 7th, it's because of our enemies. Because terrible things are happening. Amalek wanted to kill us, and eventually Lech Kenosa, we got together. But Shkalim is what? Shkalim is saying, I need you. And I'm only half, I'm incomplete without you. Says Yismach Yisrael that we're supposed to get together, not just in times of bad, but in times of good also. When things are good, recognize how I love you and I need you. And that's why we do Shkalim before Shabbat Zachar, says the Yismach Yisrael, to remind us that we have to get together, not just in times of bad, but in times of good also. I think that's a huge, huge yesod. And I think the more we think about how our little contributions can impact not just ourselves, but other people, the Jewish people, so then we'll be machshiv, not just our actions, but also ourselves. And we'll believe in ourselves more. And that's ultimately the goal. The more we believe in ourselves, and we believe in our own capabilities, we'll have that Nesiyas Lev, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us more and give us more kochos to be able to use those kochos for the better.